Indeed, perhaps kind of like this movie, The Red Balloon, there are some images from childhood that stick with you and sometimes can archive themselves in your brain, and you don't really know they're there until something sparks and brings it back. For me, that happened with the image of John Martin Sr. I didn't even know his name when I was growing up, but he had taken to an unusual practice in my hometown. And it wasn't on my route every day, but enough days that you start to notice this man, a man who was a former railroad engineer, who had a dog named Tiger. And with this dog named Tiger, who had heartworms, he would go and take the little dog out for a walk, but because the dog had heartworms, he couldn't go very far. So they would get to walking along, and then they would have to stop, and Tiger would have to take a break. Does this happen for any of us? And so they would go a little bit further, and then Tiger would have to take a break again. And so occasionally on a walk, they would stop at the corner of Walnut Grove and Holmes, and Tiger would be taking a break. And John Martin found that a couple people began to wave at him. And they were waving, and he had such an irresistible sense that he could not wave back. And so he had Tiger there on the leash, and he began to give a little wave here and there. And so this became so enjoyable for him and such a part of this rhythm of what could be for Tiger, who, although Tiger couldn't go on big, long runs, could go and seem to enjoy also being on this corner, so that it became a part of a rush hour ritual. So there at the corner of Holmes and Walnut Grove, in the morning time and in the evening time, Tiger would stand there with John Martin very patiently, and John Martin would wave. And it was that he had a specific kind of wave, I guess, from all of his time on the train. And so it had a distinct kind of urgency to it, right? Like a train was going to go out of station. And maybe something about all those people passing by on their way to the busyness of what was going on, to stay and stop and see somebody who was seeing them and to feel the joy that was radiating from John Martin. This image has come back to me in ways that I hadn't expected. In ways that I hadn't put particular significance on John Martin, but I think now of all of the people who were driving past, who in some way, in some rippling of the universe, were affected by what he was doing. As we're thinking about Mary today, she made some choices, some yes moments. In some ways, she may have felt that she had stumbled into it a little bit like John Martin. Was I in the wrong place at the right time, or the right place or the wrong time that God would call me? And how would I be equipped to do the big business of then rippling out something big and unexpected into the world? I am not the right candidate. And surely if I do follow up on this expectation that the Spirit would birth in me, I am the subject of social disgrace and uncertainty, and I may be dejected and even stoned and sent away. But we know that's not what happens. In the expanding favor of God's universe, we know that somehow, as the Spirit was also working on Joseph's heart, and the Spirit continued to work on to Mary, that they lived into something that was greater than themselves in so many regards, and for which we have continued to benefit as they go out and they wave and they ripple unto their world with the proclamation and the good news that something is about to be birthed that is unexpected. Friends, I want to share a story about a call that's been on my heart, and it's been most unexpected and at times most unwelcome. And the Spirit has continued to be oh so very persistent, like this balloon that follows me around, and I can't seem to get away from it, and it keeps following me. You see, on Jubilee Sunday, June 9th, we were out here in the Sacred Garden, and it was an exhausting day. We had so much to welcome in terms of all those who would be coming back to enjoy KC. We had county officials. We had the band playing. We had holy oil. We had agape with the food. I'm looking at Teresa. She was on top of a lot of those details. It was such a day of festivity, a day of parade, a day of birthday party, right? A day when there should be balloons. And so there were. Some were hanging on the inside, and some were out on that trellis out there, so that at the end of the day, after they'd been square dancing and eating and photo boothing and everything that you can imagine, I was ready to trudge home. You see, because we don't have enough parking spaces, we had walked from home, which isn't that far, 10 minutes or so, but my feet were tired. And guess what? I had my daughter Phoebe with me, 5 at the time. She had to get home, too. But before we would go, she looked out and she saw the balloons that were still hanging out there. And she said, "Oh, I want those balloons. I want them. I want them." And I said, "Okay." So we went and we unwound them from the trellis very carefully so that they would get untwisted and unwound. And we proceeded to grab this big bunch of balloons, and she held them. And we began to make our walk down Vantage Point Road to the intersection of Little Patuxent Parkway. And suddenly something shifted in me. You see, this had been a wonderful day. And although my body and my feet and my head seemed tired, there was something about seeing a little girl with a bunch of balloons, how happy she was, but then the reactions of other people who saw her. For as you see, balloons conjure something in us, kind of like John Martin himself, that uplifts the spirit and that communicates that something is special, that something should be paid attention to, that something new might be breaking forth. And so I was transformed in just the short walk as we stood at the intersection and people kind of gave us a look and like they might even wave at us if we were to engage with them. So we did. Well, just a couple. Hey, good to see you. And we kept on walking and I felt like my heart would burst. And in some ways, even though my toots were tired, all the way home it felt like air. I felt like the balloon was carrying me there, and I realized that this was a breath of thanksgiving. This was a breath of thanksgiving for all that had taken place to get us to this momentous moment of 50 years, and a sense of expectation and great wonder that God was not through with me as a vessel, and a sense, too, that God was not through with our environs yet either. And a part of me wishes I could say, "Oh, it ended there," but it didn't. Because day after day, I could remember that sense of elation that I felt. Sometimes we have to be so tired that we get to the dregs in the end for God to fill us up anew. We carve out new space in the midst of our great suffering for a great love because we've expanded. And we know that we can go that much farther because the journey has taken us that way. And so I kept on thinking back to that moment and then went to Dayspring, which is the Church of the Savior Retreat Center down in Germantown. I'd been there many times before, and maybe some of you have also been there, and been on retreat, and what it means to go silence for 48 hours. Oh, it's so delicious in my world. Nobody needed me for 48 hours, and there were no other retreatants. Nobody else was there. I had the whole place to myself. Yeah. So that morning of that first day and the afternoon came about and I found my special spot on the bench and I went out and I sat there for a long time, was just in silence. The sun was coming down and it was that time in August when the butterflies are just floating around. And I sat there long enough to still my heart and my spirit and a voice started to come to me in the quiet. Be a vessel of joy. And again, I heard it, be a vessel of joy. I sat there long enough for the sun to kind of penetrate my being and for those words to wash over me. Because these also didn't come out of nowhere, but God had been working on my spirit and asking, will you be a vessel of joy? You see, sadness comes pretty naturally to me, whether it's Enneagram or the ability to sit at hospice beds or that desire to connect with people, no matter what their journey and story has been. Sometimes I have to work at joy, which is hard because the levity of happiness we think should just be naturally and bubbling out of us. And for some of us, it's something that we have to make space for and we have to be intentional about and we have to take it on in a way that is going to change us from the inside out. So when I heard be a vessel of joy, I could already feel the embers in the ways in which God was seeking some further expansion. And it wasn't too long thereafter that I was remembering this image of the balloons. And they and my spirit began to weave their way into John Martin. And I kept on passing that corner at Little Patuxent and Vantage Point Road. Some of you might know where this is going if you have been around in the last couple weeks. And so because that was on my path nearly every day, I could not shake it as much as I wanted to. For you see, I started to see an image of myself. Perhaps the joyful self, the vessel self, not absent and detached from who I am, but the self that would be able to let things lie for a moment. To reach into that intercontemplative space that on the contemplative tree of practices might be up there with standing that would say, balloon pastoring? Could I write that in? Is that a thing? Is that a thing God is calling me to? Is that something that I would be able to stretch and to do? Denial persisted so that we had our retreat at the Shrine of St. Anthony, if you'll recall, and I went out the next day and sat on a stone wall and I overlooked the fields there thinking of you all and the time that we had had. And then at the end of my journaling, it said, prepare the way. And I knew that I would have to go. I had to go purchase the helium tank I'd accidentally seen at Target the 2 weeks before. Have to make sure there were balloons and there was going to be a stockpile so that at the right time and the right moment, I would have to blow up a balloon and get up the guts to go and stand on the corner of Little Patuxent Parkway and Vantage Point Road. But something in my spirit knew that this wasn't going to be a one-time thing. Perhaps it was when I looked at my commitment form and I had all the blanks to fill in and I said, what will your spiritual practice be this year? And I knew that on my spirit it was needing to be one of joy, one that was in some way simple, regular, and something that I couldn't think my way out of. And so that being said, I went away to Wisconsin for Thanksgiving, and I came back, and it was Advent and the start of the new church year. And so on December 3rd, that Monday, I figured out how to work the helium tank at my house, and I got a balloon, and it was cold, right? And I'd found this great hat. Yeah, isn't it nice, Bev? It's not what I would usually choose. You know why? Because I looked at it and it said joy. It said, oh, maybe somebody's standing there who's not caring what they look like, who's not overthinking the situation, but just trying to ooze something out. And so I got my balloon and I had my big old jacket, like a big puffy marshmallow, and I stood there and I had no idea what to expect. I tied the string to my wrist and I just started waving. I had my mitten on, so that's nice. You know, you don't think about these things, but the way things came together, so my fingers were all together. It's nice, like I could get into that John Martin thing, right? Like, So I was out there, and I was out there like 10 minutes, and this kid from Howard County had his little video camera, and he comes over and he says, what are you doing? And I was like, well, I'm trying to stand on the corner and spread a little joy, but I just started. Like, I'm hoping to do this for a year, and today is my first day. And he said, that's fantastic. And he started filming. And he's just, you know, if you ever need anything. And he jumped out of his Jeep and then he went back. And I started realizing just in those expansive moments, as I started to wave, that something did deeply come over me. And that I was getting a window into people's journeys and hearts and souls and their days. That they were allowing me in for a moment and they had every right to ignore me. And many did. And it was okay. But some got so into it that I found myself doing a little dance so that they would wave and I would say, oh, you know. And this commuter bus came by and that big charter thing, he's got that big old window. And he started doing a mm-hmm. And I was giving him a mm-hmm. And suddenly the day got better and it didn't need to make sense of why I was out there. It was clear that it was out of this holy fool tradition. Because I'd thought about it, and as I also gave over to the spiritual practice of kind of commandeering my blog, balloonpastor.com, I write there of these daily interactions that I'm having with our neighbors. And I write of these things that are happening in my heart and my soul that I find that I'm expansive later when I'm dealing with, I don't know, balloon fights at my house. I found more space for what this must be like, this expanding one's body and one's heart and one's mind to strangers. And to be an equal opportunity waiver. We talk about it. We talk about crossing aisles. We talk about crossing all these spaces in which we feel divided. And when I'm out there, I'm waving at jalopies and Mercedes. And they wave back. And the young and the old. And oh, how I love the children. Peeking over the windowsill. And give me one of these. Sometimes they roll their windows down. And they, please see me. And I do. And God is saying, see all the people. Each one is beloved. Each one is out there on a journey going somewhere, maybe trudging somewhere at the end of a long day. And it's not for me so much. I have to admit, it gives me so much. But I also feel the expansiveness that kind of comes in that universal Christ place. That place where Mary is saying forever yes. Opening and connective, things that ripple over time despite the suffering that would come, the holy innocence, the cross, all of these things, they still exist. And some people are grieving as they drive by. For some people, this will be a very hard Christmas. And there are all kinds of things of why they might not want to wave. But carving out this little patch of place, which after 2.5 weeks, unfortunately, don't tell the Columbia Association, but I'm starting to wear away the grass. I have found that merely seeking to be an existence of joy in a community, in a country, in a world in which we need signs of joy. That's what people tell me. Because the guy with the video wasn't the only one to stop. Now every couple of days I have somebody who pulls up over to the side and just wants to know what it's about. I'm not trying to fool anybody. I really do say that it's a spirit of joy I'm trying to capture when I'm out there. And you can see the yearning in their eyes and their hearts for the seeking of joy themselves. One woman stopped the other day and pulled over and she just said, "Why are you here?" And then I said, "I'm just trying to spread a little joy." And she's like, "I thought that's what it was." Like, I think she was relieved that I wasn't selling condos at Vantage House or something. And she said, "You know, my mom had this way of connecting to the happenings in the world and the joy that's out there, and you were reminding me of her." And I said, "Is your mom still with us?" And she said, "No, she's not. But I'm keeping on looking for joy." And I said, "How's joy going for you?" And she said, "I could use some more. I'm so glad to see you out here today." And I said, "Well, my name's Claire." And she said, "My name's Claire!" And I said, "You have made my day. Thank you for this." And she got in her car. And I said, "Come back and see me. I'm going to try to be here for a year." And you know what? I said, "If you ever feel like you want to, feel free to come and stand next to me. Because I can't describe what happens when you give yourself over to this moment. And when people start waving. People are confused at first. I wouldn't be surprised if some of you leave here totally and utterly confused by what I'm doing. You wouldn't be alone. There's a confused section of my heart that continues to pump and to beat. And there's some mornings when I dread it a little bit, sometimes when I look at the weather, and I think, what have you called me to? But that walk, that holy walk that I sometimes join with one of the Vantage House employees, because we seem to have a very similar timing, and we take it together to the end of the corner. When I stand there, I start to feel the rhythm, and something always seems to happen. Sometimes I give myself over, this will just be a normal day of waving. But then the geese, thank you, St. Francis, start to wave in their formation. Or someone stops. Or that UPS guy delivering packages says, "Thank you, it's been a long day." All of these things culminate in such a way that I don't question it so much as anymore as wonder how the joy can continue. I'll end with a story of a young woman who, at the end of my time, I was turning to walk back up just the other day on Friday, and she stopped me. She stopped running. She was in her little running outfit, and she said, "What are you doing?" This is always the question. This is always the... And I said, "Just trying to spread a little joy." She says, "That's so great. I saw you the first time and I was just perplexed. But then you just kept showing up. And it was great. And she said, I just moved here to this block here. And I've been getting to know Columbia and I like it. And I said, well, you know, I'm the pastor of the church over there. And I said, you want to walk up that way with me to the house, the carriage house? And we did. And we stood in that corner right over there. And we just looked at this building. And I told her a little bit about who we are. And I told her about our Jubilee. And I even snuck in the bit about our plaque out there. It was, she said, I've seen your sacred garden. And I said, feel free to come by. She's like, I thought this was a Chinese church. And I said, well, but these are our neighbors' friends. And so what I've realized in that calling to that moment, I didn't have a specific agenda of what had happened, but do you realize that everybody who comes down our road here has to pass there? That there's no other way in and no other way out? There's one guy who likes to give me a specific gesture, which is not awesome, but I even have grace and laughter at that. Because I think he's somewhere on this block, and I don't know his story, but I know that there's some pain involved there. My cup of tea, my balloon, isn't going to be for everyone, nor do I imagine it could ever be. But to be a sign of the Holy Spirit, to wonder what it is to embody joy, to use these very vessels and bodies, maybe even like Mary did, trying to help something be birthed that would be in conversation with some of the pain that we know and the journey that we take. That's what I wonder. That's what I wonder about the essence of a church that started because of the embers of a coffee house. That's what I wonder about a church that is so deeply inclusive that it means all of the people passing by. About the church that's not afraid to laugh and to be humorous. And I realized on the day I was standing there and I said, I'm clowning. Maybe not in the same way, but it is the spirit of KC that has been birthed in me for 18 months that said, go to the edge of your limitations. Go to the edge of your body and what's okay, and put yourself out there in such a way that you'll be opened up to something new. So my invitation this morning, friends, as centered as it is on this balloon and wherever God might be calling, you may see me out there. I've seen some of you out there. Alan shaking his head. Ellen had seen me. Frank had seen me. Linda had seen me out there. Yeah. If there's going to be a place of revolution of joy, I want to take along with me all those people going like this back at me. And I want to give you the hope that there are hundreds of those folks. There are hundreds of those folks in this community, and there are people out there waiting to have conversations. I've had more conversations in the last 2.5 weeks with people on this block than I have had in 6 months to a year. Who are they? Where is joy in their lives? And where is joy for you? John Martin waved at the corner of Holmes and Walnut Grove for 17 years. I make no promises. Let us pray. Holy and living God, as you call us to the spiritual practice of something in this new year, there are so many ways in which we connect to you, and we lift it up to you, God. Perhaps there are new ways in which you are yet breaking through, opening us and stretching us on behalf of joy, that we as the body of Christ would indeed be joy to this world. We know not everything is perfect. There's so much out of place. And yet, what if the balloon guides us into something new? The promise of joy, of a parade, of a birth, of a jubilee, means that indeed we are your celebration people. And so let Jesus continue to guide us, to open us, to stretch us for all that is ahead and all that we can be when we mirror your love and wave it back to the universe. Amen.